Welcome to another episode of Minute Till Six. You know me, your host Mark Haynes, MH the Champ, along with my co-host
Chris Perry, Chris.PerrySR. You know where to find me.
And today we got a special guest. As you see, the gentleman to my right, Mr. Irv Rowland, yes, basketball sir. Skills trainer, known as the secret weapon behind James Harden. So, do I call you Irv or the secret weapon?
Man, just Irv, man. I'm unemployed, man, so you gotta call me Irv.
Respect. Yeah, man, so we appreciate you coming through, man. Absolutely. On short notice. You just knock over the table and stuff, right, man. But it's all good. But, Irv, man, how long you been doing, skills training and stuff?
Too long. So I started working in the NBA in 2004. Mm-hmm. And I really locked in on player development and stuff in 2006. I started working for Tim Grover, mm-hmm. Michael Jordan's old trainer out of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So at the time, I was in New Orleans with the Hornets. And we spent our first two seasons in Oklahoma City. And then we transitioned to New Orleans. And so during that time, moving and doing all this stuff, facilities, offices. I had a lot of time in the off season, so I would go to Chicago, and right after summer league, I would work for Tim Grover, training guys in Chicago, usually during the month of August, right before I went back for training camp. Oh, and then just kind of built from there.
That's what's up. And yeah, like you said, you're from Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you hooped in high school and stuff. What was your game like in high school,
man? I was a shooter, man. I still got a burner. you know what I mean? You want to stay attached to me at all times. I did that, man. I broke my leg going into my senior year of college. A lot like Paul George, Gordon Hayward, but yeah, without that type of rehabilitation. So I still got a metal plate in my leg.
Yeah.
And so it went from probably never going to play the game again to maybe a couple years. I was blessed, played my senior year, and because I couldn't move, mm-hmm. I took the most threes in the state of Oklahoma. And luckily, I was fifth in percentage.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I was able to play junior college and then Division II. So. Yeah, I was a shooter, man. Lefty, so it was like a shorter Michael Reddish type game. Yeah,
call that Mike Red. Yeah. I'm all about him.
He was a bucket.
Yeah, he was a bucket. People don't remember, man.
Man, that's for them young bucks, mm-hmm. man.
So 15 years in the game, man, and so from Oklahoma City. You said New Orleans, correct?
Yeah, so I started in Boston right after college. I started in Boston one year. I was an intern doing video. Doc Rivers' first year there. Mm-hmm. And then New Orleans for 5 years. And then from there, I moved to Miami. I started a business training guys in the off season in Miami.
I saw that. So that was the lockout year, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
In the lockout year, you started the business at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
So did it boom from the gate? Did everybody come down and mess with you?
Yeah, it boomed from the gate. And it was crazy because obviously the lockout, you don't know when we plan.
Right.
It's Miami.
Right.
So it was like everybody was going to be there. So what I did was, Grove had what he was doing in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and then it was guys doing that in LA. Nobody was really doing that in Miami at the time.
Right.
And so what I did was, it was just crazy. I was working with Mario Chalmers during that first season when LeBron came,
mm-hmm.
and then the lockout was after that.
Yep.
So what happened was Mario got a massage one night, right? And the girl that came over to get a massage, she was like, yeah, I got to rush out. I got to go see y'all's next door neighbor. He's one of my NFL clients. And I'm like, oh, word? Like, you know, what does he do? Are you a trainer? Like, what does he do? She was like, oh, yeah, he trains, Julius Peppers, a bunch of guys. She was like, y'all should exchange info. And so creative juices start flowing. I met him. I start working out with him. He's one of my best friends to this day. Manning Sumner, he owns a gym called Legacy Fit down in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started training all my NBA guys. So I think July 4th, 2011 is when we really kicked off. And I started with Joe Johnson and Kevin Durant. And so there's a video on YouTube, of us working out that first day. And then from there, it just ballooned. And this is before Instagram all this
YouTube,
TikTok and all that stuff.
It blew up.
Yeah, so I didn't really have, the outlets that these guys have now to put my stuff out there. But because of relationships, word of mouth, Man, I ended up having close to 40 guys that first offseason.
Damn, that's heavy. Mm-hmm. That's what's
up. Mm-hmm. Straight off the gate.
Yeah.
So when you look at training somebody, whether it's male or female,
yeah.
A lot, like, I see a lot of people, like, you know, at the, you know, varsity levels and stuff, they coach players the way that they want to coach it. Do you look at players and say, all right, this is what you're going to do, or you look at what they have already and say, we could tweak this in your game?
So I think early on with kids, you got to throw everything at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to look at a 10-year-old and say, you know, you're just going to stand in the corner, or you're just going to be
right.
a defensive specialist. Let me throw everything at you and see how you evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, then we might say, all right, cool. You're just going to be a high-level 3-and-D guy, a girl, and you can make a great living just making shots and right. helping right. space the floor, being a great communicator on the defensive end or mm-hmm. whatever. But early on, you know, we're going to try to throw some stuff at you, see if you can pick it up, see how fluid you are with the basketball and stuff like that. But no matter what age we are, I'm trying to keep the game as simple as possible. I think too many people, especially now with social media,
mm-hmm.
we want to throw 1,000 moves at kids.
Yeah.
And you look at the greatest players. I go around the world and do this, and I always talk about it when we get to, like, the isolation portion.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest players in the game, like, we could argue all day. I don't care who you are. Michael Jordan is the greatest player to ever play, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have 1,000 moves.
Yeah.
He kept the game simple. Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest to ever do this. Like, he's special.
Yeah.
You know, twisted mind as far as being a competitor.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's not too many Kobe's, MJ's, Diana Taurasi's. Like, they're built different, right?
Right.
They kept the game simple. Kobe once had a quote he told, I think, Nick Young. He said, to be predictable is to be unstoppable. Because if I'm unpredictable, I don't even know what I'm going to do, right?
True.
But you know, yeah. Kobe want to go 1-2 dribbles left or right, and you know he want to pull up for that jumper, so you so ready to contest the shot.
Use that.
You get up in the air, boom, I lean and get the foul or get the step through the reverse, whatever.
Right.
Get my bucket off, you know what I mean? Because you're trying to, you know, play to that. But some of these guys, they have all these moves. You mm-hmm. can't really master anything or get comfortable with it.
You know what? That's funny, because last episode, we got a – I'm a LeBron guy.
That's cool.
And you know,
not to cut you off, he don't have a lot of moves.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that was the point. I wasn't going to start the argument back.
No, we good.
I was going to go with, like, you know, they can do these moves.
Yeah.
But they know it works
for them. Nah, LeBron is going to stick to what is effective for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really need to go out of that because you can't stop this.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
and like then we brought up like James, and it's a
even
lot
James. So even James Harden, James,
you know what he can do.
James doesn't have a lot of moves.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna lull you to sleep with the between the legs, boom, step back because he caught you, you know, locked in on that. So what I teach is, like, a lot of times the way James already has the ball in his hands, where Kobe, Kawhi, these guys are wing players.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing with the jab.
Yeah.
They're lulling you to sleep, boom, jab, jumper first. And then after that, I just build, you know, my package around that. But it's real simple.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because like you said, the predictable and unpredictable,
yeah.
you know, quote. Like, because, yeah, everybody in the world, like, especially, you know, us sitting at home, we're
yeah.
looking at him, we're like, dude, you know what Kobe
yeah,
does.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
yeah
you know
yeah,
what James
yeah.
does.
Yeah. Can't stop it.
Why can't you stop it?
Man.
It's coming.
It's because you know.
The summer before Chris Paul came to our team in Houston,
mm-hmm.
I was at his house having dinner, and the Warriors playing the Cavs, I think it was closeout game,
mm-hmm.
and Kevin comes down the court at LeBron, and he has the ball in his right hand, changes it over to his left. Me and Chris start yelling, yo, he's about to pull up.
Yeah.
Boom, cash, and it changed the complexion of the game. But you know, as soon as Kevin comes down, mm-hmm. puts the ball on his left, hang dribble, jumper, that's what he's gonna do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it's predictable, but you can't do nothing
right, about,
it.
About it.
7 foot right. two guard, man.
Yeah. Right, from way out there. Yeah, I remember that same thing. He kept coming up court.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as soon as he switched hands, it's like, I just
yeah.
stood up, like,
yeah.
here we go. It's
cash, man. Yeah.
So,
yeah, and they got
the practice shot.
Yeah, and then they in the Warriors practice facility, they had that big, you know, and you know,
yeah.
I'm like, man, that, like, you see it coming. It seems so easy
yeah.
to defend, but you
it's
either
it's different. It's different in person, man.
Yeah, like, a lot
totally
different
on TV. Yeah.
A lot different.
Yeah.
So what about your time in OKC? So from your 2000 and from Miami, you mm-hmm. go to OKC, right?
So from Miami, I left Miami, go to Phoenix.
Phoenix, that's right.
Yeah, so I went to OKC, New Orleans, to Miami, and then back to Phoenix. Yeah, so
I was on Hornacek staff.
Huh? Hornacek staff. So it was crazy scenario because we come into this season and we're picked to be last in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So we got Eric Bledsoe, we got Goran Dragic, the Morris twins, you know what I mean? Like Gerald Green, like we had a special group.
Right.
Yeah. And then we end up being one of the best teams to not make the playoffs. We missed the playoffs by one game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was like, boom, we do that. And now we have all these expectations coming back.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
And then Eric Bledsoe's contract situation. So we end up signing Isaiah Thomas.
IT. Yeah.
So when we come back, Goran had made 13 All NBA.
Yeah.
So Goran felt like, boom, this is my team. Mm-hmm. But Goran got Eric got paid, but then Isaiah's coming off of just averaging 20 a night with Sacramento. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like we got to figure this out.
Yeah, they're playing three guards.
We're playing all three of them, and it's crazy because I think about it sometimes. When those three were on the court together, you couldn't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
You couldn't do nothing about it. Like, but you can't make everybody happy. So yeah. Goran wanted to dip. And I think at the time, we were sixth in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth, seventh in the West. PJ Tucker and those guys. Like, we had some dogs on that team.
Yeah.
And he asked for a trade. He goes to Miami. IT goes to Boston, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And we get Brandon Knight back, and we end up not making the playoffs. Blair got hurt and all that stuff, and then it just started to crumble from there. So yeah. It was like that first year kind of killed us because we overachieved.
Dude, so yeah, now this is making a lot of sense, whatever. You're a lefty.
Yeah.
And you had the opportunity to play, you know, train a lot of lefties.
Yeah, a lot of lefties.
IT, Goran Dragic, James. I'm like, you a lefty.
It's only a few of us, man. Bucket getters, man.
I got to stick together.
Right. A little fraternity out here. Little gang.
All three of those guys, coming from you, they had big years and, you know, continue to, you know, do so.
Man, and I'll be the first to say it. Like, I am just... You know, I'm just blessed for the opportunity to be a part of these guys' journey. Mm-hmm. I think too many times in our field, guys, you know, it's all about credit.
Right.
And no matter if you're an individual trainer or if you work for a team, you know, everybody wants to take credit.
Right.
He has a good game,
yeah.
And then boom, as soon as the game's over, I go on the gram and post pictures of me and him at, you know, Waffle House or whatever. Shout out to big bro, little bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I taught him how to hoop. And, you know, with Isaiah Thomas, man, he's one of the hardest workers I've ever been around. Home, road, no matter where we were. And he was only with us for that half of the season before they traded him. But,
right.
Like, as soon as we land, I remember landing in Detroit. It's snowing crazy. Boom, I'm going to grab something to eat, meet you at the in the Uber in 20. And we straight to the gym to get shots up the night before the game. And that was every night, you know mm-hmm, what I'm saying, for mm-hmm. the most part. James Harden, like, unbelievable work ethic. Like, I'm just blessed to be a part of these guys' journey. So, you know, I never want to look back and say, you know, oh, I did that. You know, to say I was a part of that is good enough for me. And, you know, I just try to differentiate myself from the crowd and the stuff that's going on nowadays.
Right. With IT, real quick, because I've been wanting to ask somebody this question since you're close with him.
Yeah.
Do you think he blew it in Boston by not doing the extension? Because the extension was on the table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, hold off so that we can.
It's easy to say now.
Right.
It's easy to say now, but like.
Who knows he was going to get.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I pray for my guy every day, man, because it sucks. I'm a big. Whether it's Floyd Mayweather, you know yeah. what I mean? Like, I've had the opportunity to watch him spar and train. And, like, I love seeing people get rewarded for hard work,
yeah.
man. Because I've seen too many people get in these situations and not value the blessings that, you know,
yeah. right.
put in
yeah.
front of us. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, just get to the league and just say, I'm happy to be there. But IT's work ethic, second to none. And so, you know, I just pray to God that one day, you know, things turn around for him, and you know, he can get some of that back that he lost.
And that's why I'm like that too. I like, you know, that's why I'm so excited. I was excited to talk to you, cause I like to work.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
You know, the game when I used to coach, whether it was football or basketball, I used to always tell kids like, where you nobody likes to see you work except people that really enjoy the sport.
Practice
is work.
Oh, man.
You gotta enjoy that.
Right? Yeah.
The game is the show.
Yeah, you know, that's when
you know, your girl in the stands, and you know what I mean, you doing little things, make her smile.
Lights is on,
stuff,
but lit.
Yeah, that's almost the easy part.
But it's all that background work
that nobody's seeing.
That nobody see.
Yeah, and that's one thing about LeBron, man. Like, you know, it's easy to say like LeBron James is 6'8", 270 and moves like, you know, somebody 6'1", 170, you know what I mean? It's easy to say, all right, you have these God-given
ability
that nobody else possesses, right? It's easy to say that. But I remember being around Bron, and one day something happened with his schedule, a family, something came up. He couldn't get a workout in that day. So in his mind, he's sitting there going, he's like, man, like, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to get it in tomorrow? Because he has something else, another busy day. And I'm like, bro, it's the lockout. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just wait till Monday. You know what I mean? Like, we don't even know when we playing again. And the dude was like serious as heck. He was like, nah, I can't take 2 days off. You know what I mean? But that's the way he's wired.
That's real.
And, you know, you see a guy, like I tell all these kids, you see a guy like that, we know, like, he spent over $1 million on his body and stuff like that.
Right.
But LeBron's career, his legacy is not an accident. You know what I mean? You can't just fall into that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you gotta.
It's an everyday decision.
It's an everyday decision that this is what I gotta live up to. You know what I mean? And he could have easily said, boom, I've accomplished this, I've done this, I'm gonna just shut it down. I live in LA now, just living, you know, just chill. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But 35, almost 35 years old, like, still playing and moving that way, still having the passion for the game. Like, they posted something on the internet like 17 years in and he's still this excited to play on a Tuesday in Orlando.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, some guys don't have that joy to hoop and to get it in, and that's just, there's only a few guys in the world like that in any capacity, whether it's sport, business, whatever the case may be. Yeah.
And you get there every day and you just,
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
Workaholics.
Nah, he's different, man.
And back to one of your lefties.
Yeah.
Go back to James Harden and the step back.
Yeah.
How much? You ain't a credit taker,
but
your involvement with creating this.
So the thing about James, and it's crazy because when I like doing a player development thing, with some players, I talk to you about younger kids. I don't, you know, I'll throw anything at them because we don't know what they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then a lot of times you get, whether it's a college player or a professional, I'm not going to throw a lot of moves at you because I know that's not what you're going to do on your team.
Yeah.
And so I get so annoyed every summer. We see some of these players, like, you work on all this stuff during the season, and then you get on your team and you're just, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Come on, bro. Like, that's not true. I get it. You want to spice it up. You want to get loose a little bit. But just be great at what you do.
Yeah.
Be a star in your role, like they say. Right? But James, like, I could literally do, you could do whatever you want because he has the freedom, the ability.
Right.
The thing that makes James special that I don't know most people know, he has the best feet in the NBA. So Santa Barbara, the place, P3 out there.
Uh-huh.
They did a test on his feet. His ability to start and stop is better than anybody in the NBA.
Oh, wow.
And so a lot of people, they ask about the step back move, and I tell them, I'm not going to do that with everybody because most people, like James, has a stronger lower body. So his ability to step back, create separation, land, and jump straight up and be on balance for a shot, most people can't do that. Most people going to jump backwards and they're going to be fading left to right backwards, and the shot's not going to be fluid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul, His is more of a sidestep. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that works for him. Mm-hmm. You're still getting the same amount of separation, getting your shot off. You know what I mean? So it's just a different move. So, you know, the thing with James, man, James is very fluid. He's light on his feet, and he has great rhythm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you see him dancing and all that stuff. Right. Like, he has great rhythm. So his ability to just, like, you just see him in the gym by himself or warming up, like, he can do a million different crazy moves that you probably never seen.
That, like that behind the back.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The one leg and stuff, and it looks fluid.
Yeah,
like where Bron and Stephen tried to mimic the move.
It ain't the same.
It's not the same because they're not as fluid like that, but they have a million other things that work for them.
Right.
Won't work, you know what I mean? Right, that won't work for James on the other end. You know what
Steph
I mean?
He tried that step back.
Bron tried it and caught trouble. But Luca does it, and it's fluid. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just different. And then one of the major keys is because of the rules are different.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I just got back from Paris the other day, and the kids, no, bro. Like, y'all don't have the gather step rule like we have in the league where, like, James can take the dribble with one hand, take the steps, and as long as you don't have two hands on it yet, you know what I mean? But as soon as y'all do it, it's going to be a travel, so why waste time?
Right.
Yeah.
See, and that's what we talked to when I was on my brother's podcast last year. We talked to Aaron Gordon, and I was like, man, we was going back and forth about it. Is it a travel or not?
No.
He
did it against Utah last year, mm-hmm. against Ricky Rubio in the playoffs, and he did it like four times. That was a travel.
Yeah.
But it was like the refs are so locked in on they haven't called it, and it happened so fast. They were like,
it's too late.
You know what I mean? But when he does it, it's not a travel.
Yeah, in the realm of that gather step,
it's
all. Because Aaron Gordon, how he described it was a travel, but he was like, as long as you got your hand on top of the ball,
you can take as many steps as possible. Yeah.
But the thing about James, when he does it, he's not putting the ball back down. You know what I mean? It's just the steps, and the one hand is on the ball is just different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were working on a move. You know, you guys saw the clip of us doing the NBA camp with Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so there's one Instagram clip where Kobe's talking to Kyrie on the clip, and we're talking about basically like the Euro step, right? And Kobe has Kyrie working on the Euro step. So most people, when they come at you doing the Euro step, they pick the ball up and then they fake the two ways and they whatever.
The ball is here.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I always used to say, and Kobe told them, he's like, man, when people do that, I get so mad because if I'm playing defense and you come at me like that, I'm just going to back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Back up and make you get an offensive foul or travel or something like that, right? So he said, what you should do instead is run at them full speed. You take the dribble and the step at the same time, and now you still have two steps after. So I come at you, boom, right? And now pick it up. Instead of going pick it up, 1-2, I go dribble. Mm-hmm. And then I have two steps after.
And that's what D-Wade used to do that.
Yeah.
D-Wade, he's
a pro at that one.
Yeah.
Me and my brothers, because Chris, he has a that's like his favorite move.
We
play, he's nowhere near as good as them at it, but that's all he would do is Euro step.
Yeah.
So we'll just be out in the front yard, and he's doing it. He's like, D-Wade, he's like, everybody else is just boom, boom.
1-2.
The ball is here.
Yeah.
You can slap the ball, but D-Wade get that last dribble.
Yep.
Then sometimes he'll pull it over.
Pull it over here. Yeah. So windmill,
Nah, that makes perfect sense because you still got your two steps.
Still got two steps.
And it looked like you're getting three.
Right. It looked like you got three and people want to call it a travel, but the rules are just different, man.
Speaking of Kobe, man, I seen over the summer you did the camp at the Mamba Sports Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Want to talk to us about that?
Man, so Phil Handy kind of put this together with Kobe. So obviously, Kobe being who Kobe is, all these players want to train with him, right? So every year he'll find some time to have him come down to the crib and get some work in and stuff like that. So Phil was like, look, man, you press for time. How about we just get all these guys together and just do it one time all together over the course of 2 days? So it was a lot of fun. It was an honor, you know, to be a part of that, to be, you know, picked to come work that because, you know, you had Kawhi, you had Paul George, Kyrie, Isaiah Thomas, Aaron Gordon was there, Tobias Harris. Like, we had a number of guys that came and worked, and Kobe gave a lot of info out. You know, gave that's a lot of game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did like drew up some X's and O's, and guys got to ask him about certain situations, like you know, how are you guys being guarded? What defenses are y'all facing? You know, let's talk through it, because some guys, you know, obviously you see stuff during the season, and you're trying to get an extra ear or stuff. So we walked over on the court. Guys could throw whatever they had at them, and it was really dope. It was really dope. Yeah.
From camps like that or trainings like that.
Yeah.
Who would you say out of that group you seen like make that, like you can visually see that it
moved the needle? A guy like OG Anunoby was there, and because he had been with Phil Handy with Toronto the year before. Mm-hmm. So he came, and he was a guy, he kind of struggled with some injuries and stuff like that, was in and out of the lineup for Toronto. Mm-hmm. But now with Kawhi being gone, he's had to step up. He's had a good year. Yeah. You know, he's had a really good year. Yeah.
And Liz, I'm going to go to some of the young guys in the NBA. It's been some point guards like you named Luka. That some young guys that's just going crazy. Mm-hmm. And Trae Young, mm-hmm. and Ja Morant.
Yeah.
And all over the internet, you know, you see, oh, this, you know, this one, who's going to be the point guard of the future or whatever. Who do you think, if you, you know, can give us your opinion on, who do you think?
I mean, I'm biased because Trae is like family. That's me. You know what I mean?
That's
but,
my dude.
You know, that's family. But Ja, man, as well. Mm-hmm. Like I remember when Trae was in college, and for that season, obviously I'm a big Oklahoma fan. And all that stuff. So, you know, Oklahoma's a small place. It's not California, right? California, you got a million future pros at something here, right? You know, Oklahoma is not that. So, anytime somebody's successful, there's gonna be a lot of hate because it's a big place, but it's not. You know, it's a lot of people trying to do it, but not a lot of people make it. So, Trae ain't this. He's not big enough. He's not athletic enough. What? You know what I mean? Like, he's not a defensive end. You know what I mean? He's not trying to make tackles. Yeah. He's trying to put the ball in the hole. So, his first half of the year at Oklahoma, huge numbers. He's killing, and he kind of, you know, hit the radar. Then the second half of the season, and I hate college basketball. I can't watch college. Men's college basketball is the worst brand of basketball in the world. I go watch third grade girls all day before I watch men's college basketball. So now people started to pick it up. We're just going to sit in the paint. Mm-hmm. So you put four guys in the paint, put a 6'7" athlete on Trae, force him into taking tough threes. He can't go nowhere because the lane is clogged.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't trust his teammates to consistently make shots. Yep. So now Trae's not looking as good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's still getting decent numbers here and there, but it just wasn't like the first half.
Yeah.
So I'm having to tell people, y'all don't realize, when you're highly skilled, right, the NBA game is easier than the college game.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
If you can shoot, you can pass, you can handle the ball, create separation. The NBA game is easier because defensive 3 seconds, mm-hmm. because the way defenses aren't allowed to be aggressive, the game is tailored for offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So see a guy like Trae, boom, now you come in. Now every night, you know, we take it for granted now because you're getting you know what I mean? Like, you just thinking like James will hit 45 on a Monday and you're like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's really, like, we take it for granted now. And Ja, same thing with that kind of athleticism, being able to make shots, being able to pass the ball. The game is just easier now. You know what I'm saying? And so them, Luka, like, we really, like, the game is in a good place. And I just think with the way kids are training now and the way their skill sets are, it's evolved so much. Like, you think back in the day, man, I was watching a game, no names. It was like on NBA hardwood. So, guard, bring the ball up the court.
Uh-huh. I feel like I know the video too.
They inside the 3-point line. Right? He looking to his left, dribbling with his right hand, waiting for somebody to come off the pin down. The 3-point line back
nobody
there.
Nobody guarding him.
He almost, and the guy at the free throw line looking around like, who he gonna pay? You know what I mean? Like, he not pressuring the ball. Yeah. He not worried about him taking this 18 footer. Nah. You know what I mean? That's too far. You know what I mean? So right, I'm like, dog, y'all couldn't even dribble with both hands back in the day. Yeah, y'all was tough and y'all would fight and all that. That was awesome. Slugging. But y'all couldn't even make a left hand layup. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's cool. Y'all was grown men and we, like, the game is different, dog. Steph would have shot that 30 minutes ago at half court. You know what I mean? Like,
half court. It's an easy,
like,
shot.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a walk up, like, oh, y'all ain't guard me. But that's just, the game is different now. So these guys, like, man, I was in the gym with some girls, some eighth grade girls, a couple weeks ago. Man, they doing same hand, same foot layups with the offhand. And man. Like, come on, man. Like, the game is different now. And I tell these kids, like, when we was growing up, Michael Jordan, all right, cool, he might play on a TNT. And we see him do a move. But if you blink your eyes, you ain't really see the footwork and all that. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? We ain't had no TiVo to rewind it. You wasn't doing all that. Hopefully you had your VHS going or something like that.
It was all off memory. Like, man, he did. Exactly. He did something
right.
Like this.
That ain't what he did. It ain't look nothing right. Like that, right? Man. But now, Kyrie doing move in the game. 10 minutes later, we got one of the top trainers breaking it down. All right, this is the footwork. This is how you do it with this hand. Mm-hmm. This is the counter to that. You know, the game is different. Mm-hmm. So I tell these kids, it's like, if you really want to be good, there's no excuse for you not to be elite because y'all have tools that we didn't have.
Yeah.
Way more.
Social media and YouTube, it's over, bro.
Yeah, I'm looking at the, I mean, back to the same guys, the Jaws and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm like, I'm enjoying.
Yeah.
Like, I saw when – for like Ja, it clicked. Like, like, oh, I got this.
Yeah.
Like,
he came in. He might be the. I can't think of another rookie that came in with the confidence that he had. Like, you know, LeBron, he was 6.
Luka too. Dude, yeah. So Luka, it's funny because, you know, he's over there, right? So with Europeans, I'm always like, man, he ain't gonna be able to do that against this level athlete, right? But he's so like calm and under control and like poised, and it's just like, dog, this is light over here.
The young guys coming in with confidence, and you know, they not afraid of you know, the NBA level coming. You know, like Ja Morant and like I said earlier, Luka. And you know, they looking at the defense and they looking at chops. Like, you know, Ja the other day, he said he was like, you need to tell them who I am.
Right.
And where do you think that confidence coming from?
I think because the game is so much tailored towards offense, right? So, like, if we're talking about this group of kids coming in 19, 20 years old in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, it's bad.
It's all bad.
Yeah.
Because now, like, you think about, like, I talk about Gary Payton all the time. Like, they was just trying to dog you. You know what I mean? Like, psychologically, it wasn't no, like, all this being buddy-buddy friend stuff on the gram and let's take vacations together. Like, they was really trying to beat you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And those guys grew up in a different era. They grew up fighting at school. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't all of this, you know, trying to be cute and dress up and all. Like, they was dogs, right?
And GP like that still.
Oh, man. Like, GP, you know, he was my first point guard in the NBA. Like, well, my first year in Boston, he was our point guard in Boston. So that's my guy, right? But that, like, that mentality was different. And, you know, I talk about Michael Jordan all the time. Like, the stuff he had to go through to get to the first championship. Like, Detroit was trying to kill him. Like, you're talking about clotheslining, undercutting, punching, and all that stuff, and it was just a regular foul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so for these guys, you know, you weigh 180, and somebody, boom, like, they gonna have cracked ribs. You're gonna be out for the season. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think now I know that as soon as I face up, you can't touch me.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just my foot speed against yours.
And I know where I'm going and you don't.
I'm cool.
So I'm already ahead of you every step.
I'm cool. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm not even thinking about the defense, really.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, cool. You throw a Kawhi, Paul George, Iguodala, whatever on me now. All right, gets a little tricky because of, you know, whatever. But all I'm going to do is just call for a screen. Get you off me, you know, force this switch, and now I'm going at this slow big. You know what I mean? So it's like the game, the game is just easy if you have a high skill level. It doesn't matter your size, really. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you have a skill level, high skill level, you can get off.
Dude, and that, like you mentioned about, you just call for the screen, yeah, get the switch.
Yeah.
What in the hell is up with, like, I forget who it was. I think Draymond made a comment about, like, you know, being, you know, everybody want to switch everything.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, you see the clip of LeBron against the Warriors or whatever. Like, now it's not even, it's almost like you just call a guy, you don't need the screen, you just tell him come over here so they can switch, because they just, you know, do it.
They automatically switch.
When you, are you really, do you think you're really getting, you know, better defense when you switch everything?
I think, so it's all about personnel. Everything's all about personnel.
Yeah.
Like, people want to play like the Rockets or whoever. Can't play like the Rockets if you don't have James Harden. Like, say my first couple years, Eric, you got Gordon, Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson. You know what I mean? Like, you got elite 40 plus shooters around you. Now it makes the game easier. Mm-hmm. But if you got 27 over here, 29 over here, 43 back here, you know, like, you need PJ Tucker over here. You need Eric Gordon over here. You know, you need those guys to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell me, are we just going to do this if you don't have the personnel? So you have Golden State. You got KD. Man. You got Klay. You got Iguodala. Dude. You got Sean Livingston. You know, Draymond. You got all these guys that are lengthy and can move. Mm-hmm. Boom. Now we can switch everything. We can switch everything aggressively, because if y'all hoop growing up, you know, like, most people, when you think switch, you're like, oh, it's kind of a cop out, lazy defense. But that's not what it's designed to be, right? It's what it's designed to be is when we switch aggressively,
and it keeps everything fluid.
It keeps everything fluid. Like, we do Chris Paul Elite Camp, and I had one of my friends who was with the Rockets with me. He worked with our defense. We do a defensive station. So we've had, you know, John Morant there. We've had all these guys, and we're trying to help them get ready for NBA defenses. And they don't switch like that in colleges mostly. Yeah. So usually what we call it point switching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm guarding here and you guarding there and we switch, I'm like, all right, boom, you got mine. We call that point switching.
Mm-hmm.
If that's Klay Thompson and that's Stephen Curry, and I do that and tell you, hey, you, that's a wide open three just from this amount of space. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I got to stay attached to him. Mm-hmm. You stay attached there. And then we come together to make this switch. Now, boom,
It's got to be that tight.
It's got to be aggressive. You know what I mean? Now when you catch it, now I'm in your body and it's different.
Mm-hmm.
That's what switching's supposed to be. But if I don't have players that can move across the board, it don't work. That's why Draymond is so good. Like, people try to talk bad about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. Like, y'all thinking about Draymond's offense.
Right.
That's not what makes him elite. One, he handles the ball more than anybody on their team.
Yeah.
He's getting them in their sets, stuff like that, so he can pass the ball and stuff like that. Two, and not to go too much off, you know, off on the deep end, but like, two, Draymond, in today's NBA, most superstars aren't going to allow themselves to be held accountable by players that are considered lesser than them.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Stephen Curry not doing what he's supposed to, Draymond can get on, hey, my man, you know what I'm saying? And Steph is so selfless, he'll say, you know what? This guy's heart is in the right place. All we trying to do is win. You right, boom, let me tighten up. You know what I'm saying? And they go, boom, do what they need to
do. That works,
And so Draymond, he's a winner. He's won at every level.
Mm-hmm.
And so his value, you know, is different with that group. Maybe than it would be with somebody else, but it's still – especially, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because like now, like, he's having a down year.
He's having a down year, and you're not gonna see it with that personnel, so,
right?
You know.
But when you got all the, when you got everybody the right together,
and it's easy, like, people could say, it's easy to say, and no disrespect to anybody, but it's easy to say, oh well, anybody could be plugged into that role and win with those guys. If you looked at when Draymond didn't play for that team, they're a different team. They're a different team. And so
it all runs through him.
It all runs through him.
Like, he's like in the center of the court. You know, at the free throw area.
They play through him. Dribble handoffs and him bringing the ball up the court and just letting Steph and Klay run around is different.
Yeah.
This ain't Adam Morrison winning a championship with the Lakers. Yeah. No disrespect to Buddy, but this ain't that. You know what I'm saying? Nah, like, he plays a key role in what that group did for, you know, so many years.
Yeah, they think.
And
they
still
think,
gonna get back at it, too.
Yeah,
when they
yeah.
Come,
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
they're yeah. Gonna, get, they be gonna be back at it.
He gonna be the butt of the all jokes this year.
Yeah.
You know, they so yeah.
Triple single. Like triple.
Everybody get healthy. I can't wait for everybody in the league to be fully healthy. Nets, Warriors, like, the league gonna be OD next
year. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. That's why I'm a new Laker fan. I say that because I'm rolling LeBron. But
I ain't mad at it.
I was hoping Kawhi was gonna come, but with him going to the Clippers, like, it like evened out the league so much that it's just like there was good basketball everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, and KD leaving Golden State, him and Kyrie gonna be something crazy. Because I think that, like, obviously, like Kyrie was talking the other day, he said we need, you know, a few more pieces.
I think what happened was Kai got to talking and he got stuck. Because if I just say, boom, you know, we got us three, and then he's just sitting right there, I'm like, all right, boom, the four of him,
everybody.
You know what I mean? You know, because he didn't want to make nobody feel bad. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So he's just like, whatever. But we know what it is. Like, right. Him and Kevin going to make it go. Caris LeVert is special. Spencer Dinwiddie is very underrated. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Oh my gosh, he's nice.
Another LA kid. That pairing work though. That playing time pairing.
Yeah, I think Spencer Dinwiddie can be like a Lou Williams. You know what I mean? So like KD and Kyrie are like Kawhi and Paul George, and then boom, you come in with Lou Will and Trez, and they cook.
Accept that role too, though.
He got it. I could see him doing it because I mean, he seemed excited when they came. You got to know, like, who they are, right, like, what it's about to be. Right. You know,
I feel like that when the Celtics and
so the Celtics,
Terry,
he was wilding,
man. Terry, I feel like, man.
Scary Terry was wild.
But he knew, he had that moment.
I had to sacrifice more than anybody.
Yeah, he had that moment like Dinwiddie where he's coming in, Kyrie, he come in, he doing his Dougie.
Yeah.
And then Kyrie come back, he's like, bro.
You know what it reminded me of? He reminded me of Reggie Jackson when he was playing behind Russ. It's like, come on, bro. Like,
it's like, it sucks. I feel Scary Terry more than Reggie Jackson because it's simply because they had so much success without Kyrie.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, but you know, Kyrie is the dude.
Right.
And it just sucks for you. I thought he should have probably asked for a trade or something. Like, that situation
Terry Rozier?
Yeah. That situation just wasn't going to work.
But for Terry Rozier, like, their whole team, top to bottom, like, WNBA, like, I'm a big Las Vegas Aces fan, right?
Right.
Their team right now is just like the Celtics with Kyrie. Everybody is a bucket. Kyrie, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, like Al Horford. Like, everybody is a 20-point per night guy. There's no PJ Tuckers. There's no Draymond Green. Like, all right, boom, you know what I mean? Like, there's no role guys for real. Like, everybody's just needs the ball. And so it's a tough makeup for the team. And so Scary, like Terry Rozier, like, he's nice. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was a bad situation.
Like, that's Kyrie, man.
Yeah,
that's
Kyrie. That's Kyrie.
That's
Kyrie.
It.
Like, yeah, he's one of the most gifted players to do this, man.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I mean, where's he at now, Terry?
Charlotte.
He's doing good.
I think he's averaging like 17, 18. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he's doing well. The team's not doing that great because they lost so much. But he's averaging about 17, 18.
Okay. I feel like this offseason, everybody, like from Terry to KD to Kyrie, I feel like everybody won.
Yeah, put in good positions.
Like, it's nobody. It's like Kemba. He fits perfect with Boston.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Who would you say your favorites is right now?
My favorites. I mean, I just feel like the Western Conference, I mean, it's going to come down to one of the L.A. teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because the Clippers have had great success against the Lakers so far.
Right, I guess they're
2-0.
Yeah.
So they've had success against the Lakers so far. Two tough games. So it wasn't like
could have gone anyway.
Mm-hmm. But against other teams, they haven't looked as dominant.
Right.
And I think it's hard because Kawhi and Paul being in and out the lineup so much. you haven't really been able to build. They're just so good. With Lou being able to give you whatever. Trez is one of the most underrated bigs. You know what I mean? Like, I had Trez in Houston, and I'm so proud of Trez. Like, Trez, for it. Houston, he they don't really post up. So for Trez, he's a one-on-one nightmare in the block. Because of his athleticism, his quickness, his first step, he can, you know, make the little mid-range shot. Like, he's a tough cover, but we didn't play like that. So all his, you know, points was coming off really just putbacks and lobs. So he comes here, and then you see what he really has. So they got a lot of pieces, but I feel like the Clippers haven't really been able to build the way they've probably wanted to because of those guys being in and out, still having little knick-knack injuries. But I would probably have them, you know, maybe as the favorites, but the Lakers do with their depth is length and depth is crazy, man, because they can throw a lot of different lineups at you, and they can cover when they want to. It's tough.
Talk about that guy. Talk about as far as somebody else that lost a lot on in the pocketbook. Cousins, man, he's still coming back.
Yeah, man, and that's another that's one too, man. Like. You do the, I think it was the quad or whatever injury he had in Golden State. I was, he tore his Achilles against us in Houston, in New Orleans. He tore his Achilles, and I tore my other Achilles. So I know all about that. And being a bigger guy, playing at that weight on that Achilles, like, that's tough. And, man, I've seen DeMarcus play since he was that same, when I met James. DeMarcus, John Wall, all those guys were going into their senior year at LeBron camp, and I just remember, you know, you 6'10", 6'11", catching the ball off the glass, pushing it up court, diming somebody like on a no look, and it's like, yo, like, he got the goods, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, can shoot the ball, can score on the block, a bully and all that on the block. Like, he's really talented. I just, for him, trying to figure out if he doesn't stay with the Lakers, which I think it might be tough after next year, where can he go and go back to being him. And I, you know, I had doubts at first, but then you look at a guy like Jokic. Yeah, like that style.
He Jokic, could be that.
He could be that. Could you be know that, what I mean? Yeah. Catching in a block, kind of playing through
not
him
because really
he could pass the
his
ball.
Athleticism, just skip.
He could make a three, you know what I mean? He can make the three. So if he can get healthier and get mobile, like, I think he can be what he was before. Because before he got hurt, with the Lakers,
he was looking great.
Weight wise, he was looking great. He lost a lot of weight and stuff like that. So I think he's gonna be good.
I think
especially with the age,
right? I think with the Warriors, when he came back, I felt like he didn't have time to get.
They rushed it.
We just had to throw him in the
fire. All right, you're clear.
Then it was like forcing him the ball too.
Yeah.
So
he had a big game against us. We had he had almost 30 or something like this on us in Houston. And I mean, he looked like, I mean, he was just a bucket, like up and unders and all that stuff, doing this stuff.
Yeah, you could tell he definitely wasn't.
No, he didn't have no pop.
And so then to see him get back in shape in the offseason, it was like, okay, cuz it's coming.
Yeah.
Then it goes down, boom. But now I see him training again. He's looking like Cousins again. I mean, of course, he's barely still moving, but I'm like, the way he's moving already right now, he'll be back for the playoffs. And then I just think about him and AD in New Orleans. And that tandem, that high-low game they was playing.
Yeah, they was tough. I was wanting them to stay there with Jrue Holiday and all that stuff. They were tough, man.
And that, the Lakers,
Lakers just
that size. Period. Man, they have basically 4 7-footers. You know, LeBron, Danny Green, they all 6'7", 6'8". You know, it's. They like the Monstars out there.
Dwight coming back doing his thing.
Dwight's playing great, and you know, I think it's been big. Like Dwight, when he was in Houston, he was there the year before me, and so Dwight, you know, people were all saying like he still wanted the ball on the block, like he wanted to show he could post up and all that stuff. But like for him, if you just a high level lob threat on top of being a defensive anchor and all that stuff, boom, you still an all-star.
That's your
chair.
That's
you know
chair.
What I mean? Like,
Look at Capella.
Now look at Tyson. Tyson Chandler when he did Tyson it. Like these guys, DeAndre Jordan, like you can do that, and you're a little bit better than them, like when he was fully healthy.
Yeah. Right.
You
know
what I mean? So, you know, I think he's kind of bought into that, but it took, like he said, you know, kind of being on that last leg to like kind of wake him up, and like now he's like Orlando Dwight. He's smiling, he's laughing, he's having fun again. Yeah.
And I saw where he said he had to watch
Draymond.
Yeah. And have earn respect for him.
Yeah.
And now he's, you know,
because it's tough, because when I feel like I talk about Draymond at least once a week, but like when Draymond's not on your team, you hate him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But when you think at like what the game's supposed to be as far as competing or whatever, competition is not supposed to be about, you know, all this cute stuff all the time, like the flashing lights and who had the most points. Like, that's why, you know, Patrick Beverley's another one. Him, Dellavedova, like whoever, like these guys, they compete, man. Right. They play the game the right way, you know? Right. And are you willing to give yourself up and, you know, do the little things to help the team succeed?
Right, yeah. P.J. Tucker, even though he's flashy.
Tuck is so special and different, because most people that are like that on the court ain't like that off the court.
Right.
You know what I mean? Tuck is Walt Frazier, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Tuck got the, you know, a million shoes. He got the Ferraris. He got the Lambo. Like, he got all that stuff. But when it comes time for work, like, there's not many people with that mental makeup that are just like, look, man, I'm going to get myself up and do what it's willing to take for our team to succeed. Like, most people ain't like that, man. They say they are.
Right.
But Tuck is really about winning, and that's who he's always been, man.
Is there anybody that you look at in today's game, you say, man, I wish I can get with him. I wish I could train him.
You know what? Andre Roberson. I really want to work with Andre Roberson, because I feel like, you know, I think he is, you know, a really good defender. Mm-hmm. I think he could have a little bit more offensively. Mm-hmm. And you look at when Kevin was there. Kevin and Russ on the perimeter.
That was nice.
You know what I mean? He was so limited in what he could give him offensively. Like,
right.
A guy like that I would love to have, man. Like, I remember the last, before this year, take away this past year, Pascal Siakam, like, watching his growth and development. He would train here in L.A. every summer with Rico Hines.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Pascal is like, the poster child of the way I see player development. Like, people think you can just go out, boom, I give you 100 drills and I'm gonna get nice, right?
Right.
No, what happens is you go out, you do that drill against that cone, and then you get in the game, you're like, oh dang, that cone is 6'8" and it moves. You know what I mean? Like, gets a little spooky now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think like one of the things that makes James so special is he plays a lot of pickup. So when you play pickup, you're constantly in rhythm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you're constantly working through situations and figuring it out. For some people, it doesn't work. But I think for a lot of people, it's really good to play pickup. So Pascal was doing his skill work and was playing pickup. So now all the stuff you've been working on, immediately. You know what I'm saying? And so now you see he's become an all-star.
Right, right.
I don't know if he'll make it this year because he's missed so many games, but you know, he's an all-star.
Yeah, for sure.
He's an all-star.
Because he's a monster out there right now. Yeah. Everybody thought, you know, Toronto would drop off with Kawhi leaving.
Yeah,
nah,
he just picked up the slack, dude.
We mentioned a few other trainers and stuff throughout today, man.
Yeah,
and,
you
know, I know you're a humble guy, but, you know, in the back of your mind, are you like, I'm the best?
It's funny because I look at it and I mean, we all have pride. We all have, we say we don't have an ego, but we all, you know, we want to feel ourselves a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you want to be, we don't just walk, I mean, I don't know too many people just want to be regular. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, I do take pride in knowing that, you know, I could say I've worked with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Chris Paul. Like, I've worked with all these guys. And so I think, because of my resume, you know, I think I'm elite at what I do, but I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look it back to where I was 10 years ago as a trainer, as a coach or whatever, and I've grown a lot in the last 10 years the way I teach. And so for me, I'm just constantly trying to learn And I think for, I'm older, so I'm, you know, I'm 38, I'm older than a lot of these guys doing it. So I think for me, it's like, we gotta keep like the integrity of the game the same.
Right.
So because everything in our world right now is about social media.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like it's gotten to the point where it's not even about the player. It's about building my following.
My
up.
Following, right.
And like with James, for instance, I don't think I got enough credit for this. But with James, anytime James would have success, 60-point triple-double, winning MVP, I would post a picture, and I would, because people would always, whether it's on ESPN or on social media, oh man, Irv's done a great job. But relax, James was special when I met him in 19,
mm-hmm.
right? I am just honored to be able to say, I work with this dude, I've known him for years, and I'm proud of what he's accomplished. I'm just a part of the journey. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm cool with that. Give me a check.
Yeah.
Let me live good, right. And I'm cool with that. You right. know what I'm saying? Right. But it's now the game, like this whole training business, I could talk to y'all have to leave about the training business is so corny now.
Mm-hmm.
Like before I came up here, I had to have a conversation with one of my buddies. I worked with him last week in Paris. He's a French guy. He's trying to get into the training business and stuff like that. And he was telling me he was about to pay to get some certification. And I'm like, nah, mm-hmm. you're tripping. Yeah. You're wasting
yeah.
your money.
Yeah.
Because in this industry, you don't need that.
Right.
You don't need that.
Yeah, all your clients is your
certification. Validation.
That's it. You know what I mean? But that's also one of the negatives about it, because now mm-hmm. if I just go to the gym with you
and post a picture of
the homie take the picture, I could have just, I don't even know you. Right. I just rebounded your ball as it was coming through the net and threw it back to you.
Yeah.
He take the picture and now I post it. Oh man, shout out to, you know, little bro, man. 40-point game, man. We in the lab, blah, blah, blah. I mean, technically, we are in the lab.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
But
I'm
yeah.
not really with you, yeah. but we are in the lab. Now, boom, my following went up. I got people DM, can you work with my son, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I got you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah that's the industry now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I could tell y'all so many stories of stuff that people have done to me as far as, you know, trying to, you know, hoodwink other people mm-hmm. when it comes to training.
Right.
And it's corny and I hate it. And I'm at the point where I really don't even want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't really want to be associated with this no more. Like
right.
it's
yeah.
it's gotten so out of hand.
Watered down
there. Yeah, yeah. It's 1,000 trainers, man.
Yeah, yeah, everywhere. Yeah. And
just in Cali.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
Just in Cali.
And they social media famous.
Social media famous, dude. And it's not even about the players. The players could get worse after you work with them. It mm-hmm. don't.
Percentages go down.
The percentages go down. It don't matter. But I'm going up.
He had one good game.
You know,
and in that one good game, we posted it on social
media.
Like, this is what I did.
Right. It don't matter, man. And so for me, right now, majority of my business is out the country.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Paris last week, London the week before, here for 2 weeks. I go to Australia for 3 weeks. I'm putting together an app, a training app for kids, and come back from there, be home for a little bit, then go to Russia. Like, I'm just in and out all the time. I do better over there because over there, you actually got to prove yourself and show a resume and show,
right.
like, what you've done. Here, I could just go lie to any parent and be like, yeah.
Go look at my Instagram.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I work out with them, did this, did that.
Man, we was in the gym one day, and if you watching, man, all love, man, keep doing you. But I was in the gym, I was working out with James, right?
Mm-hmm.
So gym was multi-court, right? So James shoots it and misses, and it goes to the other court. Dude is helping me rebound. Right? So I'm like, look, you got the ball that James just shot. I'm going to chase the rebound because I'm closest to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he, boom, I go get the ball. I come back. He then moved up a little closer to allow he's the passer and I'm the rebounder.
Rebounder, yeah.
I'm not about to cause a fuss. Hey, man, go back down there. I'm not about to do all that. It ain't that deep. Like, you got it, right? So now I'm the rebounder. Boom, I'm feeding him. He passing ball to James.
Yeah.
I go home. I look on the gram. He done had one of his homies
take the picture,
videotape him,
and clip you out.
No, a video of him passing to James to make it seem like he was. What part of the game is that?
Yeah, man, the social media is crazy, damn. Man. You see it
that's
all.
That's heavy, man.
I who he's talking to. Oh, we was talking to the actor Wood Harris.
Yeah,
yeah,
and he said it was like he don't know if she was homeless or what, but yeah. She was walking.
Yeah.
She was like, paid in full. He was like, yeah. She was like, can I take a picture with you or whatever? He was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And she like, he was like, she stuck her head like in his passenger window.
Yeah.
To take the picture like she's in the
in
car.
The car. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
He's like, he see her posted later.
Yeah.
And he's like, this, like, I don't know if she's homeless or she's walking.
Yeah.
He's like, she got like 100,000 followers,
yeah, yeah.
And all her pictures look like that. And I'm
right,
like,
this is, you know, that's the game, bro. That's the game. Like, I was telling somebody, like, I could go to Mastro's right now and like see Beyonce and ask for a picture and be like, oh yeah, me and Bae just came off a date night.
Right.
And y'all don't know, like, Jay-Z just got in trouble with her. Like, maybe she didn't, you know what I mean? Like, now Irv is lit now, you know what I'm saying?
Irv on the shade room.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Irv hosting parties and all that. Like, I don't know Beyonce from the man on the moon, but y'all don't know that.